your what's up today, an information about class 101, our Connect class scheduled for next Sunday. Can I be honest with you? I'm not ready to teach that yet. I'm a little bit behind, so we're going to postpone that and allow that to happen October the 19th, all right? So if you would, take time to go ahead and send these guys one of those text messages, and that would be really helpful, okay? Do that in the next couple minutes, all right? I'm going to be quiet here just for a second and watch you play with your... Some of you are really good. What do they call it? Twitter. The Twitterers. How many of y'all are Twitterers? You know what that is? I don't either. I have no idea. Oh, hey, Rick. What are you doing? I thought you were next door.
I was.
Yeah.
My teenager gets free texting. I don't.
Okay. You don't get free text messages.
This thing is going crazy. I'm serious, dude.
Well, let me tell you what's going on, Rick. See on the board over there? No, wait a minute. Whoa. Take that down, all right? No, that's not what I was talking about. Not what I was talking about. I had one up there a minute ago.
There was a different. Look at this. Turn around. Look at this.
Ooh.
I'm serious, dude. I don't get free texting. What's going on? I told you.
If our tech team were, very astute, and follow me. There it is right there, you see. I asked everybody just to take a few minutes and send text messages to one of you four, just saying how much
they
appreciate you.
Look, they're still coming in, but cut it out. Guys, take that off there.
Okay, we're going to have a love offering at the end of the service toward Rick's cell phone bill, all right, for all the text messages that he got today.
I understand. Joni's going to tear me up.
Well, we'll make sure. But you sure what all the nice things people say about you?
That's good.
No. That happens anyway, okay? I was just wanting them to do that for you. All right. Yeah. Rick, how many did you get in the first service? Did you get anything? Are they all just coming in now? I mean, now you know why they were there. You were over working with the kids, so now you know what that was all about. Yeah. So you kind of figured that we were doing something over here to cause that. We're glad about that. All right, thank you, Rick. All right, ladies, I've had a number of you tell me, Bud, you gave the guys a lesson a few months ago and they need a refresher on this, okay? And so what I'm going to do is go back over some of the words women use. Now, I told you this back sometime in the spring, and I want you guys to kind of think about how well you've done in understanding the reality of these things. And these are the words that women use, and guys, it's our job to make sure we understand them and we live into them the right way, okay? The word fine. When a lady says that, guys, as you remember, this is the word she uses to end an argument when they are right and you need to shut up. All right? That's the first one. Fine. All right? Here's another one. 5 minutes. If she's getting dressed, this is really half an hour. All right? 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you have just been given 5 more minutes to watch the game before helping around the house. Okay? Guys, you're kind of like very stoic right now, and obviously this has got you in shock. Nothing. This is the calm before the storm. This means something, and you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing usually end in fine. Remember that, guys. I took this in a few years ago, and it's helped me a lot. Go ahead. This is a dare and not permission. Guys, don't do it, please. All right, the loud sigh. This is actually not a word, but it is a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men. Now, y'all don't have my phone's going off way too much. All right, a loud sigh means that she thinks you're an idiot and wonders why she is wasting her time standing here and arguing with you over nothing. Okay, got that one. All right. That's okay. This is one of the most dangerous statements that a woman can make to a man. That's okay means that she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when you will pay for your mistake. Finally, thanks. Guys, this is a woman thanking you. Do not question it or faint. Just say you're welcome. All right. Those are things, guys, to see how well you're tracking on some of these things as far as communication goes. We're going to talk about communication today with regard to the issue of the tongue's intended use. Now, some of you, you've checked out already, and you're thinking, you know, the ball game's coming on, and I got to see this. I'm going to zip through this material very quickly, so you're going to need to stay with us on this. We're going to look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, to me, is the hallmark passage in Scripture about the tongue, about our communication, verbal and nonverbal. So let's look at three aspects of the tongue today. First thing, the reality about the tongue. Secondly, the risks of the tongue. And third, the rewards from the tongue. The rewards that God says the tongue should bring about. When we go to that passage, I want you to know that the very first verse in that passage has to do with teachers. And there James says, if you have chosen to be a teacher of some sort, you have chosen a high calling. Now, it says you got to be very careful. The responsibility level is significant, but also the impact and the potential influence is very real as well. And so he uses that as a preference to talk about the tongue, because what do teachers do most of the time? Visibly, what is so critically important to their work? They talk, right? They use the tongue. And so he goes into this passage to let us know a little bit more about what he expects of us. The first verse I want us to understand today is the Bible verse that we, our memory verse for our small groups. Now, those of you who are in small groups, hopefully all of you will get in small groups if you haven't done that already. But the verse goes something like this, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5. Encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Now, Paul had the pleasure of writing this to a church that was already doing a good job of coming together and treating each other with respect and love and that kind of thing. So he says, do this as you are already doing. Proverbs 16:24 says this, kind words are like honey. They're sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Would you agree with that? Now, how many of you would say, honestly, man, when I walked in today and I looked at this what's up and you know, I saw the topic today, you thought of something this week where you realized, oh, man, I really blew it. Anybody willing to admit that, you know, that you thought about that? Something you blew this week with your words? Yeah, I've had a couple of those. I thought, oh, gosh, as I was preparing this message, I said, oh, I don't want to do this one because of this and that and the other. Well, here's some things about the reality of the tongue. Go with me to James chapter 3, verses 2 and following. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. Here's the reality about the tongue itself. James tells us that it is nearly uncontrollable. Your tongue is nearly uncontrollable. Now, I don't care what you say. Your tongue is nearly uncontrollable. If you've got your tongue somewhat tamed, it's probably because you truly are at a place in your relationship with Christ where you're allowing Him to take over your life. It may be that you've just decided, I just got to stop. Or it may be that somebody around you is telling you, hey, you know, you've got to change. I will tell you that whenever we try to change the way we talk, it requires a change in our lifestyle. It requires a change in our lifestyle. We are going to talk the way we live. Now, I've known plenty of guys and even gals, unfortunately, people would say, well, they cuss like a sailor. Well, when they try to just stop cussing and say, well, I'm just going to stop talking that way, but they don't change anything else, guess what? The change in the speech never goes away, or the change never occurs. Over the long term, what do? They go back to the habits, and they go back to the cussing like a sailor does. It's only when we have an internal change of a heart, which results in a change in our lifestyle, that our words are going to change. Does that make sense? And so we know that the Bible says that our words need to be kind, they need to be loving, and they need to be sweet like honey. What are some of the risks of the tongue? James gives us about three clear risks about the tongue in using the tongue. And I want us to understand those as we move forward a little bit further here. Before we do that, let me say that some of us, the way we use our tongue has a lot to do with our personality. Would you agree? Because your personality is going to drive how you speak. If you're an introverted person, guess what? Your tongue's probably not going to get nearly as much use as the extroverted person. All right, in my house, for example, the vast majority of words are spoken between the two of us, between my wife and I, are spoken by me. My wife's more introverted. I'm more extroverted. She's kind of a back-of-the-church person over there, and I'm an up-front kind of person, obviously. And so when that happens, you know, I say things. As a result of that, I say a lot more dumb things than she does. Okay? It seems like the vast majority of words that come out of her mouth are well-chosen, wise, and are you know, they're kind of like she could have, you know, written. Sometimes I think she probably wrote part of the Bible, you know, that kind of thing. Me, on the other hand, it's just the opposite. I'm the one that always is having to apologize for stuff I've said because I'm the one that says the dumb stuff. Now, I just tell her that's a function of quantity. Honey, I speak more, so it's just going to stand the reason I'm going to say more stupid things than you are. So cut me some slack on that. What's that? Okay. She told me to use these today, and she was probably right, until my brother just kind of... What are some of the risks of the tongue? I learned growing up, all right, this first risk, and that's this, is that the tongue has a high level of disproportionality. Disproportionality. There's high disproportionality with the tongue, and I can't see you out of these, so you just have to grin and bear it, all right? Look at my ugly eye. It was a softball accident Friday night, all right? It was a softball accident. I have witnesses that were there, so they were here. There's a high level of disproportionality with the tongue. That's the first risk. Look at verse 5 with me, all right? Now, he says this twice. James mentions this twice. He says, first of all, so also the tongue is a small thing. Circle small. Circle small. Right on your outline, circle small. It is a small thing, but what... Circle that next word, enormous damage it does. Here's the point,
okay? This small little thing inside my body, right? It's not really large at all, right? But it can cause a whole lot more impact than the size of it. Does that kind of make sense? Does the combination of my eye and me holding my tongue and talking make you sick? Huh? I told you a couple weeks ago I was going to make you puke. So anyway... Maybe today's the day. But
look what he says it again. He says, look, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. He says it twice for us to get the point that the tongue is small, but the devastation can be huge. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Have you ever been where something you might have said was kind of relatively minor? You just kind of said it, you know, and you just kind of thought maybe just one person might have heard it. But a lot of times, what might that person do? They might go tell somebody else. And you do realize, don't you, that when you say something and somebody else says what you said, it never comes out the same way. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you've been one of those persons who've had something that you have said misconstrued somehow, and people like me who talk all the time, you know, I'm at really great risk for this. Many of us who are, you know, and that's just the way it is. Maybe you're one of the persons who has a problem with being one of those middle men or middle women who kind of make sure that what was said in the beginning is communicated in such a way that it sounds more sensational. This is how gossip starts. This is where office politics in the workplace, this is where the juicy stuff comes from. When this happens, it's all because of one thing I hear, right?
When we talk, it causes lots of stuff to happen,
okay? And so we got to remember that, and we got to be careful with that. So two times here he says for us to get the point across, there is a high level of disproportionality between the size of the tongue and the size of the impact that it has. And you know what he uses here? James doesn't talk about positive impact. He talks about what? Negative impact. Why is that? Let me tell you why. Because when your words are used, the words you use that are negative are more likely to be remembered than those that you say that are positive. It's human nature, folks. And you know, we're in the middle of an election campaign, right? Okay, enough said. Human nature is such that we love that stuff. We'd much rather hear dirt on somebody than something positive about somebody. Right? Because that's the juicy stuff. That's the stuff that we can get into. That's the stuff that I can say, oh, I know this about da-da-da. And you know what? That elevates me because I have knowledge now that you don't have. The disproportionality between the size of the tongue and the effect, the impact of it, is absolutely incredible. Here's the second risk of the tongue. It has rapid impact. Rapid impact. The tongue has rapid effects. All right, it's kind of like, what is it they say? Instant acting Pepsi AD, right? Take it and all of a sudden, boom. That's the tongue. When something comes out, guess what? It has instant impact. Try it this afternoon. No, don't try it on second thought. Don't try it at all. There are times when I have said something and the moment I said it, I said, you idiot. Why did you say that? Or why did you say that this particular way? All right? And sometimes when somebody just gives you a look, you know, it's kind of like when you're trying to tell a joke and nobody laughs, like you guys have been all this morning so far since I got up here. All right? First service was really a lot. But anyway, no, I'm just playing with you. But it's kind of like, oh gosh, why did I say that? Because the tongue has instant impact. Look at what it says here. The tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. Now, do you realize that something you say, and anything you say, you know, unfortunately, can and will be held against you. You know? Can and will be held against you. Do you know people that just because of what you say, you may not know them from Adam other than the things you hear them say? And you've already made an evaluative judgment with regard to whether you want to be around that person or not. You know people like that? Can you think of somebody that might come to mind? Yeah, we all have those people. And you know what? People have made evaluative assessments about you based on what they've heard you say, regardless of whether they know anything about you or not. Well, James is pretty clear on this. He says it can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Here's the third risk of the tongue. That's high volatility, a high level of volatility. As I understand it, a chemical vial of nitroglycerin is pretty volatile. What is volatility? Volatility simply means there's little consistency, little predictability, and chances are that something can go bluey, as Barney says, all right? And that's the tongue. Something can just blow up because of the level of volatility. He says this. He says in verses 7 and 8, people can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish. Has anyone ever tried to train an animal before? Okay, is that an easy thing to do? No. But you know what? Compared to taming your tongue, the Bible says, That's a cinch. You ever tried to train? Just think about it, how difficult that is. And he goes on to say, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Poison kills, right? We're scared of snakes because we assume that they're poisonous, right? And we assume that if we get bit, we're going to be hurting. You know, the tongue is really, and here's the news reports, and just an example here. You ever hear the news reports when somebody, there's a story of someone who has an accident or a fire or something, out of the family, you know, the parents died and two of the kids died and the two surviving kids are in the hospital, but they'll be okay. Bull. They're not going to be okay. They're not going to be okay. And I'm not sure why I just thought about that, but I know there's a connection here somewhere. But here's the point. The point is this, that what we say does not always constitute reality. What we say, we're poisonous any time that we try to recreate reality in such a way that it's not there. So how do we do this? Well, the negative impact of the tongue, as I said earlier, is naturally going to get more attention in the long run than the things we say that are positive. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us to ask the question, what do we think that James was thinking when he wrote these words, when he was looking ahead into the future, knowing that we have text messaging today, knowing that we have email, knowing that we have instant messaging, knowing that we have the U.S. mail, which I guess we kind of call snail mail now, right? I hope there are no postal workers in here. Don't shoot me for saying that. But anyway, what do you think James had in mind? Do these things apply? He's talking about the tongue. Well, can I tell you that the power of your tongue is now in your fingertips? Okay? That if he were to write these words today, he'd be talking about your tongue, and he would also expand what he's talking about to include all types of communication. So I'm going to give you a few Bud's general rules you might think about when you're using some of these mediums of communication, because we've got to recognize that we have no choice but to apply these same principles. Here's texting. Now, who text messages a lot? Who sends text messaging a lot? Who does it a lot? The way some of y'all just looked at me like I was crazy a while ago when I asked you to get through those four numbers up, it was kind of obvious that not too many people text message. How many people, you've got a phone, but you have no idea how to text? You don't even know what to do. Okay. You got it as a feature on your phone, but if you had to do it, you'd be in trouble. You can't do it. Okay. All right. Well, let me just, then you're maybe exempt from this. Here's a general rule of thumb. Only communicate factual, logistical, or informational types of stuff on a text message. Okay. Don't try to commute anything that has anything to do, okay, with emotion. A heartbreaking story I heard this week. A friend who had been going through a separation, his wife text messaged him to tell him that she wanted a divorce. Folks, let's get real. Informational, logistical stuff. That's it. Anything beyond that, you're out of bounds. I woke up this morning and I had a text message from my daughter. She spent the night at a friend's house, and it came in at like 3 a.m. Dad called me at 7:30 to wake me up because I got to go, you know, keep children this morning at church. So I got that. That's great. I called her. She got here. I think she got here. If your child was supposed to be babysat and she didn't get here, I'm sorry. No, she's here. I'm serious. But that's the property. That's okay. Now, we cannot allow emotion to be injected in that type of thing. Why? Because we deprive people of the opportunity to see us face to face and have quality conversations about things that involve emotion. All right, IMing, all right, instant messaging. Look, you can make, when you call somebody up on that, all right, they might be in the middle of something that they don't need to be interrupted from, okay? And so when you call them up, if you really want to talk to them, please question them and make sure that they really have the time to talk to you, okay? And be careful of those things. You know, I had one of those things on my computer one time, and the guys here at the church did everything they could do to set all kind of privacy options, all right, to keep my, make it so that nobody outside this little circle of people could come to me on that. And I kept getting all kind of this pornographic mess coming in. And finally, I just deleted the whole thing. I just did an uninstall. So that's another thing you got to be careful with, particularly when you're getting on the computer. Think about that, all right? Now, here's another one. Be respectful of other people's time when you're thinking about this IM stuff. Here's another one, email. Look, first of all, don't do email gossip by forwarding everything you see. Can I tell you this? I can tell you that neither of the presidential candidates is the Antichrist, okay? Well, that helps some of you along this line, these lines, okay? Neither of them are the... I know what the Bible says about the Antichrist, and neither one of these guys fit it, okay? So don't engage in the email gossip thing. And here's another thing. Do not hit reply to all if you get a group thingy, unless the person sending it says, please reply to all. Now, if it's not appropriate, still don't hit reply to all. Okay, but in business context, I've seen where people just send in a response. They don't like what the initial sender says. They send something back that's a little contentious, and they do a reply to all, and guess what? All hell breaks loose. Literally. That's another one. All right? Now, the last one I want to share with you about is letters. Now, here's where letters can be really valuable. And emails can too. The value of a well-spoken email or letter can help you deal with a situation where if the person you need to talk to might otherwise try to take your words and hear them a different way than they were spoken. Does that make sense? All right. The good thing about the email and the letters in black and white is, no one can be ambiguous about the words you specifically chose. Now, they can be ambiguous about your meaning. And, you know, a lot of people will read into whatever they want to read into anything. But at least you know that you can't come back and say, well, you said this. You say, well, no, I didn't. I said that. Does that kind of make sense? Letters can obviously also be good when you need to communicate to someone that you don't have access to. Say there's a need for forgiveness. And you can write a letter. You don't even need to send a letter. I know plenty of people who are able to overcome grudges and overcome unforgiveness simply because they were able to express their feelings and they were able to forgive that person. So, just a few suggestions, some things that we need to think about with communication. Now, what are the rewards from the tongue? Three very quick points. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. What is not right? That cursing can come out of the tongue. Why? Because blessing was God's intent for the tongue. Three things. We need to learn how to appreciate people. That's the first reward of the tongue. I asked you to appreciate four guys at the beginning of the message today. And that was not a joke. I really, that was not a trick. I truly wanted you to do that, okay? Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Okay? That's God's will? Well, I don't know God's will for my life. Well, there's one piece of it right there that's pretty obvious. Always be thankful. That is God's will for your life. Appreciate others. Express it. Okay? Here's the second one. Encourage people. Build them up. You know, it's funny. I got a feel-good file that I keep of letters and emails. I got in a folder on my computer, too, where I get stuff in that's encouraging. I've also got this other file that's the opposite. It was called Congregant Issues. Now, I got to be honest with you. Which one of those files do you think is thicker? Congregant Issues. And we're talking about a church here. The Bible says to encourage other people, build them up. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Excuse me. You know what this means, don't you? This last part of this verse. This means if you don't encourage people, you will naturally, your heart will fall into hardness. If you will not encourage other people, if you will not be the kind of person that is willing to compliment and to tell people, yeah, you can do this, or say something nice, your heart will become hard. And you will become the kind of person, believe me, that nobody else is going to want to be around. There's a relationship here that James wants us to get a hold of. Finally, pray for people. Pray for people. This is a great passage in Ephesians 6 about spiritual warfare and about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Your main enemy are not those people that you may think are out to get you. Chances are it's Satan doing his thing. And you know what? We've got to recognize that and pray against Satan's power and against the power of that person's old sinful nature. All right? So, what does it say? Verse 18, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Folks, taming the tongue is all about a lifestyle change. That's what it is. It's a lifestyle change. Taming the tongue is not going to be done by just simply saying, well, I'm going to stop saying that, or I'm going to stop saying this. It happens from the inside out. And you know what? Inside out changes usually take time. They usually take time. And that's okay. Because you know what I found? God rewards the persistence and the perseverance and the willingness that someone is willing to play out in their lives when they really want to change. What about you? Will you make it a lifestyle change for you? Will you be willing to analyze and examine your life and what you say? Keeping in mind that, you know what, those that are relationally the closest to you are the ones who usually bear the brunt of the negative things you say. Have you ever noticed that? Are you willing to start in your home? Are you willing to start with your spouse, with your children? In some cases, your ex-spouse. It's the way it is. I know those things can be stressful and difficult. But God gave no qualifications. He said, this is how we do it across the board. This is how it's supposed to be done. Are you willing to be the bigger person, so to speak, in a conflict situation? And are you willing to take the high road and be the one who makes sure that you try to make sure that the conversation is civil and biblical? I believe that's what God expects of us. I hope that you'll try to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words on the tongue. Thank you for the tongue that speaks the words that impact our world. God, but we have to recognize that the tongue is a dangerous instrument. It is one that can be positive. It's one that can be negative. So God, I pray right now that you will help us to see you clearly and to understand you more. May we truly understand how you want us to behave, how you want us to talk. And may we make the changes from the inside out. May we be willing to do that so that our lives can be reflective of you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here today.